Thank you, everyone, so much for coming. I just wanted to take a brief moment to acknowledge the co-author on my paper and my advisor, Dr. Whitney Witt, who couldn't be here today. I'm going to talk today about some work that is my dissertation work. The title of this presentation is Intellectual Disability Among Young Children in the United States, The Role of Family Factors. Intellectual disability is a term describing people with cognitive and adaptive limitations. There is no consensus in either the literature or policy on an exact working term of intellectual disability. However, it's generally characterized by significant impairments of cognitive functions, which are associated with limitations in learning adaptive behavior and skills. It can also be conceptualized as a limitation in a child's capacity to perform age-appropriate activities. Regardless of its definition, it's clear that intellectual disability places a substantial burden on the public health sector and is a growing problem in the United States. The prevalence of intellectual disability in childhood ranges from 1 to about 1.5%. 6 million children will be diagnosed with a learning disability by the time they're 18 years old. And intellectual disability comprises the third most common disability category among students that are enrolled in the Intellectual Disabilities Education Improvement Act, or IDEA, making up approximately 10% of the IDEA population. Amongst young children, about 300,000 children were diagnosed with some form of intellectual disability that required services under the age of 2 in the year 2006, and that number represents an increase over the previous decade. Intellectual disability in childhood has a substantial impact on both the child and the child's family. Among children, intellectual disability is associated with an increased need for services, a higher risk for psychosocial and behavioral problems, impaired academic success, and impaired physical health across the life course. Among the family members, intellectual disability is associated with economic disadvantage, lower employment rates, and there's a substantial literature that documents the relationship between child intellectual disability and child and parental stress and mental health problems. The majority of research in this area is conducted among school-aged children and adolescents, so it's unknown exactly what contributes to intellectual disability very early in the life course, and also when intellectual disability begins to have a negative impact on the family. Therefore, the purpose of this study, there were three specific aims of the study. The first was to determine the sociodemographic and health correlates of intellectual disability early in life course at approximately 9 months of age. The second was to identify the extent to which obstetric factors mediate the relationship between sociodemographic risk and ID status. And the third was to evaluate the impact of intellectual disability on maternal health in the postpartum period. The conceptual framework for this study derives from socio-ecologic and life course perspectives. As you can see in this figure, we view child health as a process that's influenced by antecedent factors, proximal obstetric health, and the pathways by which these factors impact child health. If you think about the relationship between socio-demographic factors and obstetric health as being a pathway by which these factors impact health, you can think about it as a chain of risk or a sequence of events that accumulates to increase the likelihood of a health problem. In other words, sociodemographic risk factors can be conceptualized as contributing directly to obstetric health, which in turn leads to an increased risk for intellectual disabilities. We believe that elucidating these processes is critical in order to identify links in the chain where you can break the chain and maybe have a new trajectory of child health. Data for the study were from the first wave of the Early Childhood Longitudinal Study, which is a nationally representative birth cohort in the United States. We used the first wave of the study, which was collected when the child was approximately 9 months old. Our sample consists of approximately 8,050 infants and their biological mothers, which represents about 3.4 million infants in the United States that were born in 2001. We define intellectual disability at 9 months using the Bailey Short Form Revised Mental Scales. This was a measure that was designed specifically for the Early Childhood Longitudinal Study to assess a child's cognitive and psychomotor development between 8 and 11 months of age. It was the BSFR was a subset of items from the Bailey Scales of Infant Development, which is widely viewed as a gold standard for measuring cognitive disabilities or cognitive ability early in the life course. For the purposes of this study, we used age-normed mental scale. We used scores from the mental scales that were age-normed, and any child falling in the lowest 10th percentile of the scores was considered to have an intellectual disability, which is the criteria that other researchers have used as well. We looked at the impact of intellectual disability on three maternal outcomes. The first was depressive symptoms, which we measured using the CESD-12 with a cut point of greater or equal to 10 as having clinically significant symptoms of depression. The second was self-reported health, which was a maternal report of fair or poor health versus excellent, very good, or good. And the third was reporting that the child was difficult to raise, and this was the mother reporting that their child was somewhat or very difficult to raise compared to not at all, not very, and about average. Additionally, in our multivariate analysis, we looked at factors at obstetric level, infant level, maternal factors, and family factors. Obstetric factors, we looked at pregnancy complications, labor and delivery complications, cesarean versus vaginal delivery, birth outcomes including low birth weight and prematurity, and the presence of any congenital abnormality at birth. Infant characteristics, we looked at gender, whether they were a single or twin, and their age at assessment, because the age, while the ECLSB tried to survey everybody at 9 months, the age ranged, so we controlled for age at assessment as well. We looked at maternal age, race, ethnicity, education status, marital status, the presence of social support, the mother's report of her sleep quality, and whether or not she intended her pregnancy. Family factors, we looked at whether or not the family lived above or below 100% of the federal poverty level, urbanicity, which was defined as rural or urban, and the number of other children in the household. We used chi-square analysis to test for differences in socioeconomic and obstetric factors between infants with and without intellectual disability and for parent outcomes by disability status. We did a series of logistic regression models. The first was a staged regression model to identify whether obstetric factors mediated the relationship between socioeconomic risk and ID, and the second set of models determined the impact of intellectual disability on parent health. We weighted all of our analyses to account for the complex survey design of the ECLSB and to give national estimates. So our descriptive results, we found that compared to infants without intellectual disability, at 9 months, infants with disability were more likely to be Black, non-Hispanic, male, born with very low or low birth weights, born before 37 weeks gestation, live below 100% of the federal poverty line, live in a single-parent household, and have a mother with a less than high school education. The mothers of infants with intellectual disability were more likely to have had a pregnancy or labor complication as well. In multivariate analysis, our first set of models, we found that socioeconomic factors, including living in a single-parent household and having a mother with no or some high school, was significantly associated with increased odds of intellectual disability. However, after controlling in our second set of models, we controlled for obstetric factors, and we found that these relationships were partially mediated. As you can see on the row of maternal education, you can see that the relationship between maternal education and intellectual disability went away after we controlled for low birth weight and prematurity. We also found that intellectual disability has an influence on maternal health in the postpartum period. Specifically, we found that mothers of infants with intellectual disability were more likely to report clinically significant symptoms of depression, and that their child was difficult to raise compared to mothers of children without intellectual disability. These relationships remain statistically after we adjusted for a wide range of maternal, sociodemographic, and other risk factors. Specifically, we found that caring for a child with an intellectual disability increased the odds of a mother reporting depressive symptoms by 0.4, and it increased her odds of reporting that her child was difficult to raise by 0.6 after adjusting for maternal age, race, ethnicity, education, urbanicity, her marital status, whether or not they lived in poverty, the number of other children in the household, whether the presence of social support, pregnancy intention, and how well she was sleeping. So there were three main findings of this research. The first was we found that infants of lower socioeconomic status and who experienced an adverse birth outcome were more likely to have intellectual disability at 9 months of age. The second was that obstetric factors mediated the relationship between maternal education and ID at 9 months, such that the relationship that we saw in an unadjusted analysis between maternal education and infant disability disappeared once we adjusted for low birth weight and prematurity. Finally, we found that mothers of infants with intellectual disability were more likely to report depressive symptoms and that their child was difficult to raise during the postpartum period as compared to mothers of infants without disability. A couple limitations to the data should be noted. The first was that we only used one wave of the ECLSB, and so it's difficult to tease apart the temporal relationships or the interrelatedness of child health and maternal health in this period. And the second was that we used birth certificate data, which relies heavily on administrative data, and it's been shown to underreport certain things, especially pregnancy complications and labor and delivery complications. And importantly, we were unable to control for previous maternal mental health status when we were looking at depression as an outcome, and we know that these during the pregnancy period, maternal depression is strongly associated with postpartum depression, but we were unable to account for that. So in summary, we found that important disparities exist in the prevalence of intellectual disability at 9 months of age. This suggests to us that providers should strive to identify, monitor, and treat these vulnerable infants early in the life course. The finding that intellectual disability impacted maternal health suggests the need to support the health needs of infants with intellectual disability and their families. And finally, our mediation analysis indicates that an important pathway to reduce intellectual disability may involve upstream interventions aimed at reducing educational disparities in obstetric health. Thank you. This was secondary, it was secondary data analysis, yep.
I'm not asking for specific survey data.
Yes.
In other words, we included not just the weight, but included the stratum or the strata.
Yes. So this was a survey, and there was some oversampling for twins low birth weight, and we used weighted analysis to come up with nationally representative estimates when in our.
What was the mediator?
The mediator were obstetric factors. We entered them all in the model at the same time. In a sensitivity analysis, we looked at them individually, and we found that birth weight is really driving these associations. So after you adjust for birth weight specifically, the relationships, that is the obstetric outcome that mediated the relationship between the socioeconomic factors and the intellectual disability. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you look at all of Medicaid waivers and their role in affecting low birth weight outcomes, how much of that socioeconomic?
So we did look at the child's health insurance status, and we found that it was very highly correlated with poverty, and so we didn't include it in the final models because after you adjusted for poverty, there weren't really any differences. And we also looked at the mom's report of health insurance coverage during pregnancy, and we didn't find anything there either. No, actually, being male was one of the strongest predictors of having an intellectual disability, both at 9 months and then in subsequent analysis we've looked over time at the persistence of intellectual disability between 9 months and 2 years. And again, we find that being male is much more predictive than the racial categories. And we didn't do an interaction between race and gender, so I'm not sure specifically for females of African-American race, but that's a good suggestion to look into. Thank you.
What's your hypothesis about the male?
I don't know.
It's very intriguing.
It is, and it's unfortunately it's something that's consistently found in the literature that males are more likely to have some of these intellectual and psychosocial problems early in the life course, and I'm not exactly sure why that might be.
Yeah. So are they more likely to have low birth
weight? No, not that I'm aware of. So I don't know.
That's a good attitude for future research, right?
Thank you. All right.